conference call if you wish to ask questions. Please press *6 to unmute your phone. Please join me with the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Serua, Alasekimo Yutasadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Utilize this sequence to bring love and mercy into our lives, into the physical world. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu no Ufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Two letter Hebrew sequences, Krat Satan. Tear up the Satan, tear up the negativity. The same six letters can be rearranged to two three letter words, Sha'ar Katan, small gates, reminding us of the seven gates in our head, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, and the mouth. These gates in which we allow the negativity into our life. Close off the small gates. To close off and police and judge what we see and hear and taste and smell. All of the senses. We are in control of it rather than the society around us. Na gibor dorshei yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud tav shin. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, or parnasah. Parnasah is sustenance, but it's not just money, it's anything that we lack is the sustenance that is available for us, the fulfillment that we can achieve through our restriction. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we can utilize to take back the energy that we've given away to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Tzidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. In these six letters, let's look at the middle two letters, the Resh and the Tzadi. The Resh and the Tzadi has a gematria of 290, which is the same gematria as the name Miriam, Miriam the prophetess, Miriam the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam, in whose merit the well of Miriam followed the Israelite nation in the desert. Whenever we talk about wells, whenever we talk about water, we're dealing with mercy. The Resh and the Tzadi can be utilized to bring mercy into our life as a manifestation. The Resh and the Tzadi can be utilized to connect us to our soulmates or to strengthen our existing relationships. Chasin Kadosh Birotuka Nael Adata Tet Kufet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Yeh Lamcha Lamed Hey Zion Kuf is a sequence of six letters that can be utilized to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. It's also the sequence for the month of Elul, for the month of the two letters for the month, the Resh, that created the planet Mercury, the planet Kohav, the planet that internal essence, by the spelling of its name, Kafvav Kafbet, Kafvav, which represents the gematria of 26, representing the tetragrammaton, the light, Kafbet, 22, representing the 22 Hebrew letters, the vessels that in, that through their essences, through the letters that build words, and through the words manifesting in our physical world. The planet Mercury, Kohav, provides us that, that unity of the light and the vessel. The Resh that created the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation of Virgo, Petulah, the Virgin, not in the sense of the corruption of Western society that sees virgins as something of questionable value, but the idea of purity that is represented by the untouched female, the idea of purity, the completion that is associated with that purity. No negativity is attached to purity. Being able to separate between the impurities of our physical world and the purities of our spiritual worlds. Part of our task in this world. Shavatenu Pabel Ushma Tiaka Tenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufava Tadiyuta. This sequence can be utilized to manifest all of our dreams and hopes and aspirations. Perceive the world the way you wish it to be, and use this sequence of six letters to help manifest that vision into your life. And the last line, which we say silently in a whisper, but I will say out loud for the purposes of speaking. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. The purpose of this last verse is essentially like grounding the energy in an electrical system. If there is too much energy for the vessel, the energy creates chaos. That's what a shock is. By grounding the excess energy that we've drawn by saying this name of 42 letters, by saying this eighth verse silently, we ground this excess energy, so that it does not create any excess chaos in our life. It also helps us to build the vessel so that there is no excess energy to ground. I'm going to now read a verse from the Zohar. This is from the portion of Kitutzei, the section titled, One Must Not Start Anything on Monday or Wednesday, verse number 112. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunaneihu. Ale Itmar Le'Avraham Lech Lecha Me'Artzecha Me'Mimoladecha U'Mipopet Avicha Beit Molad Dilach Me'Ilein Batei Chichara O Batei Shabtai, O Batei Meadim, Uvate me adim uvate shabtai uvana alaihu itmar ein matchilin. So bet dalad dema adim sumaku de chama behinom ima de sav de itchilitat yoma tinyana vesikara ihu to vera to vemilua. The Ra, the Chisrana. Regarding it, Abraham was told, get you out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house. A famous verse from Bereshit chapter 12, the first verse in the portion of Lech Lecha. Namely, from your nativity, which is the astrology of stars and constellations, from those houses of the moon of Saturn or Mars. Since it says of Mars, Saturn, and the Moon that one must not start things on Monday and Wednesday, because Mars has in itself the redness of the sun, which indicates Gehinom. Esau's mother, who was born on the second day of the works of creation, which is why we do not start on Monday. The Moon is both good and evil, good when it shines fully, and evil when it is in its days of wane. There is a admonition, a suggestion within the Kabbalah to not start anything on Monday and Wednesday. And this verse is coming to explain the astrology associated with those 2 days as to why we do not start anything on Monday and Wednesday. Monday is the second day of the week. The number two teaches us that it is not one. To make two, we need two ones, one plus one. One is the number of unity. Two is the number of separation, because it is not one. Therefore, the energy of Monday, the second day of the week, is an energy of separation. When you start something new on that day, on the day of Monday, you are receiving and connecting to the energy of separation. What you want to be doing in this world is unifying, not separating. So whatever task you start on Monday is going to have within it a connection to separation, which means a separation, a connection to end. Do you want to start something that will come to an end, or something that has continuity? That's why it's suggested in the Kabbalah not to start things on Monday. Wednesday, we have a midrash that teaches us what took place in the creation of Wednesday. Wednesday is the day, the fourth day of creation, when the sun and the moon were created. And the moon went to Hashem and said, how can you have two kings? And Hashem said to the moon, you're absolutely right. Go and diminish yourself. And that is why the moon goes through a cycle of waxing and waning, starting from the new moon of darkness and growing day by day with light until it reaches the full moon on the 15th day of the lunar months, the Hebrew months. And then proceeding to lose its light, waning day by day until it reaches again the new moon. This is a cycle. This is a process. This is something that the light, there is no, within the light there's never change. Within the vessel there is change. And this is our understanding of why we do not start things on Wednesday, because again, there was this change, this process that was created along with the sun and the moon, was this process of light and vessel, growth and end. And these are the energies that you're connecting to when you start something new on that particular day. This is not superstition. This is a suggestion so that you avoid failure. Don't get married on Wednesday. Before we start, anybody have any questions? Okay, tonight's class is continuing last week about the Anabakoach, but just generally to review, last week's class is about the Hebrew letters without going into the Hebrew letters. It's the understanding that the Hebrew letters are the building blocks of creation. Why the Hebrew letters and not the English letters? It says in the story in the Torah of the Tower of Babel, it explains that all and everybody at that time spoke one language. And the phrase one language has a gematria which is equivalent to the phrase Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language. The holy language for most people in the world, if you ask them the question, what's the holy language, they would tell you Hebrew, because it's the original language of what the Bible is written in, what the Torah is written in, what the scroll is written with. Each of the 22 Hebrew letters have a universal energy. Each of those energies have two aspects, good and not good, good and evil. I don't like to use the word evil, although the Torah does. It says just the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But evil has a connotation in Western society. So it's because of that that I don't like to use it. But the understanding, each of the 22 Hebrew letters has an energy. That energy can be used for good or for not good. An example is a simple, easily understood example, the number one. The letter Aleph. The number one represents unity. The Aleph represents unity. If you visualize the shape of an Aleph, it's a slanted line with a letter going up from the lower part on the right and a letter coming down on the higher part of the left. It represents a separation. It represents a firmament. In the first day of creation, the firmaments were created, whatever it means to be a firmament. But understand that the one, the unity, can be either alone or it can be lonely. The choice in the consciousness is yours. This is true with each of the 22 Hebrew letters. They really and truly represent essences, energies, from a spiritual discussion, a spiritual prime. They manifest in our world as physical forces, gravity, the four forces of physics, and many others. But the essence of these forces, these energies, will always be positive and not positive. There will always be this duality because the letters themselves were created with that in mind. The letters were created by God, by Hashem. One of their purposes is to transfer energy between the spiritual worlds and the physical worlds, as well as to take prayers and other events in the physical world and return them to the spiritual. This process is made clear and manifested by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The letters, by putting them together, create words. The words create thoughts, they create ideas, they create things. And it is said in the Torah, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything that God created was done with the spoken word. Not the spoken word in the sense that I'm speaking to you, but the spoken word in what that represents spiritually in the frame of the Creator. The letters are the tool that Hashem used to do the creation. The study of the letter, the study of the words, is what Torah is about. It helps us understand. It helps us change, because the process of those transferring of spiritual energies into the physical world helps us change. When we look at the Hebrew alphabet, we are connecting through the windows to our soul, called our eyes. That process, when we hear the sound of the letters, we are connecting to that energies associated with sound, with speaking, with voice. Different levels of connection. But the essence of the Hebrew alphabet assists us in changing. It is suggested that we all go Saturday morning to listen to the Torah reading. We explained last week about the two-week cycle of that process, building a protection shield, utilizing that protection shield to help us limit our connection to the negativity during the week after the Torah reading. That protection shield is there for us, but we have to hear it. We have to hear the Hebrew portion.
I think it's very powerful.
It is very powerful.
It will show you if you like preview of what you expect.
The energy that is coming into the cosmos, we have to understand God's mercy. He never gives us any illness or any pain or any suffering without first providing us the cure. The hearing of the Torah is the cure for the negativity that comes into the cosmos during the coming week. When you hear that, the protection shield is activated in your life. That's one of the benefits of coming to hear the Torah. Last week we briefly mentioned the Zohar, so I wanted to expand a little bit more about the Zohar. The Zohar is the written word. It's written in a language called Aramaic, which is using the Hebrew letters, but is not the Hebrew language. It is said about Aramaic that the angels cannot understand it. And therefore, that's a metaphor for us to understand that the Aramaic language is a more direct connection to the spiritual worlds. The Aramaic language cannot transfer negativity. There are protections built into their words that does not allow the negative side to be transferred into our life. That's why the Zohar, which is the internal essence of the Torah, the deeper understandings of the Torah, the Zohar explains the stories in the Torah, not the stories in the Torah are vessels. The stories hold internal essence. That's another word for light. The stories hold fulfillment. Understand what is a vessel and what is fulfillment. Excuse me. I'm being recorded and you need to be quiet. The vessels are the letters, the words of Aramaic, the words of Hebrew. It's recommended that one read the Zohar every day. And I have run across a site that will send you a daily email. It's called www.dailyzohar.com. It's free. Sign up for the daily email. You will receive an email that has the Hebrew letters from the Zohar. It has the Aramaic words, which allows you to scan that section. It takes you 1 minute, 2 minutes. That's it. That's all the investment of time that's needed to make this connection. If you want to also understand what it's saying, there is a link at the bottom of the Hebrew, of the Zohar listing, that takes you to a place that connects you to that English understanding translation of what that Zohar is telling you. Sometimes you'll understand that, sometimes you won't. But it's never about our understanding. It's about letting the letters do their work, which is to help us change, to help us enter the process of maturation, of growing from a child into an adult. A child, even though we're adults in our world, relative to the spiritual world, we are still children. Until we are doing and transforming our nature from the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share, which is why we are in this world, until we are doing that, the letters help us achieve the consciousness to be able to do that. The same thing applies to the Ana B'Koach. The Ana B'Koach is a prayer. We say it each week before we start a class, because concealed in the words of the Ana B'Koach is a name of God. It's referred to as the 42-letter name. The Ana B'Koach has 42 words. The first letter of each of those words make up the 42-letter name of God. The first 42 letters of the scroll are those same 42 letters in a concealed way. The Kabbalists teach us that the 42-letter name of God was used by God for the creation of our physical world. By saying the Ana B'Koach and utilizing the meditations, and there are many more meditations than I list, because if I did that each time we did it, it would take you 30 minutes or 40 minutes just to say them, let alone meditate on them. But the Ana B'Koach, the more we say it, the more we understand it, the more we connect to it, the more we are connecting to the energy of creation, which means our creation, our essence, what we are here to do. The Ana B'Koach helps us make those changes, just like the Zohar, just like the hearing of the Torah. Which leads us up to the subject for tonight, which is also about letters. In the book of Shemot, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 14, verse 19, 20, and 21. Three verses in a row in the Torah has 72 letters. Those three verses, the Zohar explains, when listed in the correct way, create a chart. Now, all of this is available on the website. It's available for you to download and review at your leisure. It's recommended that you scan this chart that's in Class 4 on the website. The 72 Names of God is what it's called. It's these three verses, verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 14 in the book of Exodus. The first verse is done right to left, top to bottom. The second verse is done left to right, bottom to top, in reverse. The third verse is done right to left, top to bottom. It forms a 8 columns by 9 rows sequences of Hebrew letters. These letters form 3 letters in each box of the matrix. The 3 letters generally do not have any meaning in either Aramaic or in Hebrew. They do have a sequence sometimes. They do connect to a shorash sometimes, but essentially they are names of God. They are names of energies that we need to be able to utilize for control of our physical world. These names are designed to help us overcome nature. Before there is any negativity in the world, God gives us, it through His mercy, the cure. The 72 names of God is what allows us to control our physical world. What is control? Let me describe the story of Professor Einstein, the famous Professor Einstein, who talked about the theory of relativity. When he was teaching at Berkeley, there's a story told about how he gave a class on relativity. And in it, he said, if you don't have the consciousness that something is there, it's not there, which is one of the corollaries of the theory of relativity. If you don't perceive something, it's not there. Now, in our physical world, most people laugh at that idea. If I cross the street, when a car's coming and I say it's not there, the car's going to pass right through me. Of course, it's going to be a little painful as I get up off the street. But Professor Einstein in the theory of relativity is very clear, and the Zohar and the Kabbalah agree. The theory of relativity is real. Our consciousness does define what happens in our physical world. Professor Einstein taught this class, and his students were very impressed. And he drove home, and when he got home, he found that the door was locked. He had left his key on the living room table before he left that morning. His wife was not home. His children were grown. He was stuck outside the house. So the question we ask is, why can't he just say the door is not there and walk in? When we discuss control, we can understand this concept through understanding the following scenario. It could be that there was a locksmith driving by at that instant, and he waved the locksmith down, and the locksmith went and opened the door and let him into his house. Is that control, or is that circumstances? Is that a normal process? Is that nature? It could be just as he arrived at the door and realized that he'd left his key at home, that his wife drove up with the shopping, and he was able to help her take the bags into the house that she opened with her key. Again, is that control, or is that process? Is that nature? Is that normal events? We live in a world that God created, and one of the creations is called nature. Nature can be uncomfortable. Nature can be painful. Nature can be what I don't like. The way to control nature, the way to rise above nature, the way to minimize that discomfort is through the tool of the 72 names, through this chart. It's recommended that you scan the chart, right to left, top to bottom, at least once a day, in the morning. It can be done many other times during the day, just as the Anabakoach. Say it 1,000 times a day, look at the chart 1,000 times a day. The more you connect to the letters in those sequences, the more you connect to the energies associated with those sequences, the more you are able to make the natural course of events in your world conform to your desires. So that when you are locked out of your house, as Professor Einstein was, your wife will drive up as well. Or your locksmith will drive by as well. Or the door will just unlock by itself in the frame of a miracle. All of the above is nature. All of the above is the way the physical world is meant to work. But until we know that it works this way, until we make the connection that I see it in order to manifest it, rather than I see it in order to believe it. In our previous classes, we have talked about belief. People say, I believe in God. I believe in reincarnation. I believe in astrology. Understand the difference between belief and knowledge. I'm standing in front of you. I'm holding a pen. I drop the pen. It will fall to the floor, yes? Do you believe it will drop to the floor, or do you know it will drop to the floor? Most people will answer that they know it drops to the floor. And then we would ask them, how do they know it will drop to the floor? And the answer is because every other time something was dropped, it fell to the floor. We know there is a force called gravity, which science describes as a force. And Kabbalah describes as the desire to receive. The force of gravity is the desire to receive, and that's what attracts every other entity in the universe towards me, is my desire to receive. And the biggest desire to receive is the Earth, relative to in our normal frame of existence. greater gravity, etc. But understand gravity is a desire to receive. Understand that gravity is a desire to receive for oneself alone. And we need to transform it into the desire to receive in order to share. And the way we do that is through changing ourselves. And the way we change ourselves when we're not able to consciously is to change ourselves unconsciously. And that's the use of the Hebrew letters. We can analyze and understand each of the 72 names, each of these three-letter sequences. The first box on the right at the top, Vav Hey Vav, is a time machine. It takes us back anywhere along the line of history, the line of returning us back to creation, to that seed point. It's a tool to return us to that moment of creation. But it has many other aspects. Why limit it by that understanding? Why do I want to limit it by my understanding when it was designed by God to be many things at many moments throughout history? We have a great merit to be shown this revelation in our generation. Rabbi Ashlag was in his translation and commentary on the Zohar, was the first person who literally, physically made the chart. Prior to that, all of the Kabbalists were so versed in Torah that describing this is how you use these verses, they didn't need to write the chart down. Rabbi Ashlag knew and had permission to write it down for us, to show us how it builds, how it's created. And when we read the Zohar, that's available to us. But the essence of the chart is to just use our eyes as the window to the soul, which allows us, not us, but allows the energy of the letters to help us change, to help us change our desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. You have been given four tools. These tools, there are many others within the Kabbalah, but these four tools are ones that we highly recommend. They're tools to be utilized daily. They're tools that will help kickstart the process of your changing. The more you do them, the more you will change. Will you notice a change from 1 minute to the next, from 1 day to the next? No. You won't notice that your knowledge is changed. Your belief has grown stronger, which means your knowledge is greater. As I've said before and will say many times again, do not believe a word I say. But please try the things I suggest. 6 months from now, if you do this every day, if you do this step by step, these four things, you go hear the Torah on Shabbat morning. It's a two-hour investment in time. If you scan the Zohar 2 minutes a day, if you say the Ana B'Koach, and as we talked, can be a two-hour meditation or a two-minute statement. If you scan the 72-name chart, small amounts of time for very great response. To transform your beliefs, which belief has an element of doubt, into knowledge, into experience. The difference between belief and knowledge is experience. I know the pen will fall because it always has. I know the pen will fall because I've experienced it in my life. I believe in God because I haven't experienced God in my life. But part of the change that takes place is that you know God. Do you know God? And someone will say to me, but I'm an agnostic. I'm not sure there is a God. Or I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is a God. I can still use the tools of Kabbalah. I can still use the letters. Does it have to be that I experience God in the same way that someone who's religious does? Absolutely not. When I say the experience of God, when I say scan these letters, hear the Torah, connect to the letters of the Hebrew Aleph, you will change yourself. You will come to know the unity of the universe, which is the essence of God. So I use the word God. You don't have to. I use the word Hashem. You don't have to. But I strongly recommend you do these actions so that you connect to the essence of the unity of all. That's the purpose of doing these things. No, you do not need to understand what is happening. Do you need to understand how a remote control works when you turn on the TV and you change the channel? You just have to push the button. That's the letters of the alphabet. Yes, they have very deep energies. They are very amazing. They are just awe-inspiring when you study them. But you don't have to use them. They're there as your tools. Just start by looking at them. Start by hearing them Saturday morning when it's read. Look at them every day in the Zohar, 2 minutes. Say them every day in the Anavakoa. Look at them every day in the 72-name chart. There is one other suggestion that I am the only one teaching. It's a suggestion that was revealed to me on a Shabbat, so I know it has truth. I've done it myself, and I can attest that it works. There is an Aramaic word, Vadai. It's spelled Vav Dalet Aleph Yud. Take your name in Hebrew letters and intermix those four letters of Vadai with your name in Hebrew. In essence, what you're doing as a metaphor by mixing the letters is you're injecting certainty, which is what Vadai means, certainty into your soul, which is your name. For those of you interested, send me an email, and I will send you your name intermixed with the letters. It may take me a little bit of time because of the demand of time. I cannot do this for every name. But start. It's something that I've recommended to people and found it to work for them. I know it works for myself. But again, do you believe or do you experience? It's up to you. Do you know? The only way someone can know is by experiencing it themselves. Does anybody have any questions? America. Where did you hear the term see the face of God? Have you ever heard me use that term? Where did you hear it? There is a phrase in Kabbalah, see the face of God. But God is not anthropomorphic. God does not have a face. In the Torah, there is a story of Moses asking to see the face of God. And God saying, you cannot see my face and live, but you can see my back. And he proceeds to put him into, Moses into a cleft of rock, and passing by him, so that Moses can look out at God's back. What is the back of God? What is the face of God? What is the hand of God? These are, the Kabbalists teach us, the sages of the Jewish world teach us that this is metaphors, so that we can understand something that is beyond us in ways that as human beings we can connect to. There is a verse in Psalms, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it says, keep Hashem, put Hashem in front of you constantly. And the sages have said, visualize the four letters of the Hebrew alphabet, tetragrammaton, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. Visualize those four letters. If you can only visualize one of those letters at a time, visualize one of those letters. If you can't even visualize the letter Yud, the first letter, but can visualize a tip, visualize the tip. It's all about your connection to God, your experience of God. That's what it means to see the face of God. Experiencing God. Knowing God. Difference between belief, which is intellectual, and knowledge, which is emotional. It's experience. We all see the face of God to the level that we are able to, that we have built our vessel to that level. In the Kabbalists describe it as cleaving to God. Devakut is the Hebrew word. Cleaving to God, what does it mean? When we think about Hashem, when we visualize those four letters, we are making connection to God. When we study the Sefirot, we are cleaving to Hashem. These are all metaphors for deepening our connection, our experience of. Every day, we can grow that experience to a deeper level, to a greater level, to a broader level, different forms, different terms, different perceptions of what it means to be God. Ultimately, each and every one of us can grow to be God in the physical world, meaning I can control the universe. I can make a river change its course. I can make the rain come out of season. Ultimately, I can resurrect the dead. This is what the Jewish sages have been able to do through throughout the generations. These are the tools that we have available to us. Before any pain is given, the cure, the remedy, is made available to us. Ultimately, the sin of Adam brought death into the world. The ability to resurrect the dead has always been there. As the question was asked, how can we do that? The study of Kabbalah, the experience of Kabbalah. There's no promises that you'll do it in this lifetime. You may not have the desire to do it. Do you have the desire to have the responsibility to raise someone who died, which means that you have to make sure that they have corrected themselves to be able to be resurrected? Otherwise, you've just lengthened the process for them. Do you have that responsibility? Are you willing to accept that responsibility? Doctors, in a natural order of things, doctors will be able to resurrect the dead. In the natural order of progression of technology, people are being kept alive longer and longer, according to the doctors. According to the Kabbalists, people are being kept alive longer as part of the process leading up to Mashiach and the revelation of Mashiach. Which is the right view? Which is the correct view? Today, to my knowledge, there is nobody who can be resurrected. But they have cloned cows. They have cloned sheep and goats. They have cloned strawberries, and it's part of our food supply system, etc. The technology is expanding and growing very rapidly. In the natural order of things, doctors will be able to resurrect the dead sometime in the future. Is that natural, or is that a miracle? What's your perception? How do you choose to experience cause and effect? These are the questions that we will all answer throughout our lives. Use the tools. Learn to experience Hashem. You don't want to call it Hashem. You don't believe in God. You don't, not sure if he exists. You're not sure if there's a creator in the world. That's fine. The tools are available for you to utilize. God is not, God doesn't care whether you say, I believe in him or not. God wants to give you more than you are willing to receive right now. And the way you learn to receive more of his goodness is by using the letters to start making those changes. Those changes build your vessel. The more you transform yourself, the more connection to God you have. Whether you know it or you don't does not matter. What matters is that you're happy, that you're fulfilled, that your life is better today than it was yesterday. And the only way that happens is when you become a better person today than you were yesterday. And the way that happens is using the tools of Kabbalah. Any other questions? Good night. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we will have an advanced class or an intermediate class continuing the discussion of the high holidays. Thursday, we will have a reading of the Zohar. Both of those are at 10 p.m. In this basic course, this is our fourth class. And the next 2 weeks, we're probably going to be talking about the high holidays to give you an understanding of the tools of the 22 days of holiday that take place in Tishrei. You should put on your calendar Friday night, the 18th of September, through Sunday night, the 20th of September. And then you should put on your calendar Sunday night, the 27th of September, through Monday night, the 28th of September. Those 3 days are very useful tools in changing your life for next year. Not next secular year, but next Hebrew year, which starts September 18th in the evening. The next year is the word Pesha, the word nine. It represents fulfillment, channeling. It represents mercy. It represents time, which is mercy. It represents building the vessel to make it strong. It represents many other things, which we'll talk about as we talk about the 22 days commencing September 18th. Yes, America. I can't answer that because it takes away your free choice. It's recommended that during the day you hear the shofar. That's the purpose. That's the ritual on that day. It takes about an hour to hear the shofar, an hour and a half. It's generally done around 11 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon in that time frame. But time will tell. You're welcome. Are there any other questions? The night. No. Yes and no. September 18th, it starts in the evening. It runs through Sunday the 20th in the evening. Then, again, on September 27th in the evening to September 28th, is the 10th day. Next week we'll talk about why 10 days. And yes, there are things to do in those 10 days, but the important days are those first two and the 10th itself. I'll start to explain it next week and finish the week after, which will be the Tuesday before the 18th. Any other questions? Good night.